Shopify grows your business no matter how far or big you grow. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. Whether you're selling your fans' next favorite shirt or an exclusive piece of podcast merch, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. Allbirds, Rothy's, Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/income, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/income now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in.
Hello, my friends. Just a note to let you know that the following episode is not family-friendly listening. We will be discussing post-traumatic stress disorder and several events leading up to that, including suicidal ideation, hallucinations, and mentions of sexual assault. If this is not a good fit for you, please take care of yourselves. Give this one a miss, and we'll catch up with you in the next episode. Thanks so much. Hi, friends, and welcome back to the Neurodiverging Podcast. Danielle Sullivan here. I'm your host. I'm happy you're here today. If you are listening to this right when it comes out, may I welcome you to take a deep breath with me, since it is the time of year in which everyone is overwhelmed and everything is dramatic and big, and there's so many lights and so much sound. So let's just take a deep breath together. I encourage you to keep taking deep breaths as you like during this episode. Today, we are talking about nothing related to the current time of year. Today, I have a guest, Tremaine Akey from Aotearoa, New Zealand. I am so excited to have him on. Tremaine and I recorded this episode back in the summer, and it just took a while to make it through the system. but I'm very excited to talk with him today. Tremaine is a young man out of Aotearoa who has been diagnosed with dissociative identity disorder, as well as complex PTSD, post-traumatic stress disorder, and has been in the mental health system in New Zealand since he was 14. And we are talking together about what it's like to be a person with this disorder, which is not very well understood in the media. And especially, you know, before I started researching to speak with Tremaine, I think it's not something you bump into much unless you live with somebody who is dealing with it. So we're talking today about his experience of dissociating, hallucinations, and what it's like to have hallucinations or delusions, what it's like to have other personalities, and how he copes with trauma. We're also talking a lot about colonial trauma. So Tremaine lives in Aotearoa, which is colonized by the British and then by other people, and it's still being colonized today. And that colonization process and its continued reverberations into his life today create a lot of trauma for him and his family and other folks who are Indigenous to that area. So we're talking about that a lot today. So I hope you will learn a lot from this episode. Before I get going with Tremaine, I just want to say thank you to my patrons for supporting this episode and making this possible for me to do. It is very appreciated. If you would like to become a patron, I encourage you to head on over to patreon.com/neurodiverging, where you can pledge a couple of bucks a month and get some cool perks and make sure this podcast keeps going into the future. You can also find transcripts and more information on what we're talking about today at neurodiverging.com. And now, without further ado, here's my interview with Tremaine. Welcome to the Neurodiverging Podcast, Tremaine. It's good to see you again. How's your day going?
The day's going well, thank you. How's yours?
Going beautifully. We're talking about, before we started recording, that we're going into fall here in Colorado. So lots of crunchy leaves and hot chocolate and that kind of atmosphere. And you are on the other side of the world for me, so.
Yeah, we're going into spring, so the pahutukawas are starting to flower. The cold mornings are gone. We've gone to daylight savings, so we're no longer getting long nights, which I'm very upset about.
We're going into long nights very soon over here on this side, which I am upset about. So, you know,
I prefer them because then I can go, then I can go walking when there are no cars out.
Yeah. Yeah. That does make a big difference. Out here, there are coyotes in the evenings. And so I don't want to go walking with my children.
You go walking with a rifle, I guess.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Or, you know, if you've got a dog or some large friends. But yeah, yeah, it's definitely different.
Coyotes, Jesus.
Coyotes.
And not to, obviously, this isn't the topic of the thing, but because New Zealand, because New Zealand is an island, we don't have any natural predators. Mm-hmm. That's why our birds are so exotic looking.
Lovely. So. Yes.
Until we brought the predators to, well, I say we, the Pākehā brought the predators.
Yeah. Yeah. The coyotes are native here and they're wonderful and they're appreciated and they're needed, but they also make walking in the evening a little bit more challenging sometimes. So we're just careful. Would you be willing to tell us a little bit about your background and what you'd like to talk about today? I know we can go in a lot of different directions.
So yes, as because this is obviously a neurodiverging podcast, that's clearly about and since I'm not a doctor, I'm clearly a patient rather than a professional. But I'm Tremaine Arkey. I have been diagnosed with DID, PTSD, and a few other fun little things that I experience. And I also host a podcast that Danielle's been on. I think her episode will be out before this one is, so go check that out as well.
Put a link below. Yeah.
We didn't talk about sci-fi, but we certainly talked.
tried. It didn't. This podcast might be similar. We'll try to stay on topic, but we had a good conversation though.
Yeah. So DID is, for those of you who don't know, is dissociative identity disorder. It's the child of multiple personality disorder. So I have six personalities, including myself, which doesn't usually count as a personality. It's usually just the core. But I count myself as one because, to be honest, we don't really know if there is a real Tremaine. But so what we talked about beforehand is we want to talk about trauma and hallucinations. So hallucinations occur for me because I have psychosis. Now, something that a lot of people get wrong is psychotic, psychosis are not psychopaths or... But that's not even a term in DSM anymore.
That's such an important thing to bring up. Thank you for mentioning that.
So it's not when you hear someone is on antipsychotics or is having a psychotic episode, it doesn't mean they're going out and Hannibal lecturing people. They are experiencing a disconnect, a severe disconnect from reality. So, so, for example, the main illness people associate with psychosis is schizophrenia. Now, schizophrenia is not DID, as in there are not multiple personalities. Schizophrenia means split mind. So it's split the mind from reality. So a big part of psychosis will be your ability to grab onto reality. You'll start to believe in conspiracy theories a lot. You're a lot more prone to them. If you hear voices, you'll be listening to them a lot more. If you see things, you'll be believing them a lot more. If you are prone to delusional thinking, then you'll be thinking some pretty wild things. I myself, prior to the COVID pandemic reaching New Zealand, was hospitalized after, well, it's complicated. It's never as simple. It's not as simple with me with who did what, but someone I call Tinfoil Man because of his conspiracy theories, believed that, or he convinced me that sparrows, so the Eurasian sparrow, which is very common in New Zealand, was spreading the COVID virus because of an alliance they had with the Chinese government after the Five Pests campaign in China. So that requires a lot of mental gymnastics to get through that. But because you're prone to this thinking, this persecution, this grandiose thinking, you start to get really paranoid, very paranoid. And so in terms of hallucinations for me, I have hallucinations every day. The difference is when I'm in a good space, mm-hmm. I can cope with them. Mm-hmm. So if you're a person who has not been diagnosed and you are not being treated or you haven't had therapy, oftentimes these hallucinations can cause issues. Mm-hmm. Now, I should mention that in some cultures, it doesn't, which is an interesting topic in itself, mm-hmm. that some cultures manage it through using spirituality to deal with it. Mm-hmm. Unfortunately, in the West, we've severed our connection to the spiritual world, so we have to rely on science for that one. Mm-hmm. So hallucinations, I mean, I could probably go on, but what are some general misconceptions you can think of?
Oh gosh, so many. So first I'll just say there is a really good book I read recently that I'm blanking on the title, but I'm going to put it in the show notes, on American Indigenous approaches to diagnoses. Yes, diagnoses like psychosis, like schizophrenia, like bipolar disorder, like DID. It's written by an Indigenous woman, and I'm just not great with names. That's just, if you're listening to the podcast, you know that about me. So if you're interested in that topic, I can put a link to that book in the show notes. I haven't read any based out of the Americas, but I'm sure they exist. I don't know if you know of any, Tremaine, for other Indigenous groups.
Well, the Indigenous group I'm part of, the Māori, mm-hmm. of New Zealand, we used to treat people with schizophrenia and DID, and not bipolar, but the hallucinations as a spiritual guide. So they were often seen as sort of a shaman-like figure. And so what would happen is people who, the village elders, would walk you through your experience. And it was sort of a more spiritual approach to dealing with the illness, and you became quite a prestigious member of the tribe. Mm-hmm. But unfortunately not me, because Pākehā showed up.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Yeah.
So so Māori, a lot of Polynesian cultures, like the Māori, Samoan included, they used their connection with the gods and things like that as a belief system, mm-hmm. for why these afflictions occurred in certain people.
Yeah.
So, yeah, there is certainly a different schools of thought, as there are in medicine in general.
Oh, yes.
I mean, I know that the reason we test vaccines on different ethnic groups, not because we're trying to target them, but because for some ethnic groups they can react terribly to the mm-hmm. vaccine, whereas Pākehā or Asian or African cultures manage it fine because of different diseases they've had in the past.
Absolutely. Yeah. Thank you for sharing that. I know it's a big question. I think it's really interesting to look at places where mental health conditions like these are a piece of an integrated society and treated as a piece of an integrated approach versus, you know, kind of the white European Western approach of.
Well, what's really interesting about it? A lot of the time, if you're not high functioning, it's very difficult for you to function in our society, mm-hmm. in our white European society. But if you are high functioning, sometimes you can hit that sweet spot between totally off the rails and so in control that you just, I mean, I know stories from my family. It has a, it's something called generational trauma that you may be aware of, but for a lot of Indigenous people who experienced the hardships of colonization and cultural repression, we have a hand down of a plethora of illnesses because of that, mm-hmm. especially to do with drinking, substance abuse, mood disorders, anxiety, depression, all that fun mm-hmm. stuff. And because of that, we often think about alternatives, if you know what I mean.
I think where I was going, or what I was thinking about when you were talking before, is that, and also as you were talking about sort of the, I'm trying to think of a better word than social ills, but like colonization, racism, right. violence, right? Of colonization in many places in the world, right? From European colonization, Indigenous folks and other folks suffer from the things you were talking about, alcoholism, substance abuse, and kind of that generational pass down of, yeah. of a violent colonization process. And it's driven this kind of huge wedge into, now we're trying to apply European medical systems onto folks who have their own ways of dealing with things, and that it's not a one-to-one, right? It doesn't really work, I think, is all I was getting at. Yeah, and I'm sure yeah. you have much better insight on that than I do as a yes very white American.
Well, the thing about Western science is, and this is a question I often pose to the different doctors I've seen at mm-hmm. different times, is, do you think we should have based psychology on science? And a lot of the time, the more older ones will say no. Mm-hmm. And they say that because they think we are moving in a different direction with psychology. We're not, so what I would say the traditional European approach to mental health was very much to lock people away.
Yes.
To move people out of the community. Now the approach is to push them back into the community. Mm-hmm. There have been troubles with that because there are some people who just can't function in the community mm-hmm. because the community is designed in a certain way that doesn't gel well with how they who they are.
Doesn't support they are. What they need. Yeah. Yeah.
So what I find interesting is a lot of Indigenous groups in Africa and Asia and Oceania and possibly in the North and South America, they had a different approach. It wasn't scientific, it was mm-hmm. spiritual.
Yeah.
And the question I think about when I think about that is not, I don't believe in God, but what I think is there a connection there with having that blind faith mm-hmm. in something that will solve the issue more than having a dose of drugs that make you 50 kgs overweight, dull in the morning, and all sorts of mm-hmm. Effects of medication. Not to say you shouldn't take your medication.
Yeah, please take your medication.
Take your medication, but otherwise they'll put you in hospital, and that's worse than taking your medication.
Yeah. But I think you're also right, and there's also this, you know, as someone who is white, who works with a lot of white folks, a lot of us are very divorced from natural life in any way. Like we don't go outside, we don't get sunlight, we don't, you know, there's this kind of huge, I can't think of another word besides divorce, but we're very separated from, you know, how folks used to live. And we're also separated from our communities. Like we literally don't know our neighbors, at least in the Americas, you know, a lot of us don't know the folks we live with. And so there's not a social approach to handling mental illness or any other kind of struggle, really, because the socialness doesn't exist. We don't have a society. We have a bunch of individual people.
That's based off of your history of valuing the individual over the collective.
Oh, yes, it absolutely is. And it's a hot mess and it does not work.
It worked for conquering the rest of
it. Yeah, and now we're all screwed would be my you're right. I mean, it worked for that group of people. It continues to work for a group of people who are still in the process of colonization, right? But it also leaves a lot of us without families, social structure, neighbors, you know. And
what's interesting as well is a lot of just to move on to hallucinations.
Yes.
A lot of my hallucinations do revolve around some spiritual elements. Mm-hmm. And that's to do with my cultural whakapapa or heritage, as mm-hmm. you would put it. My grandmother, who's staying with me at the moment, mm-hmm. She's not diagnosed with anything, but she used to have spirits of her ancestors come to her and ask for her to pray for them. Now, mm-hmm. obviously in a clinical setting, that's psychosis. Mm-hmm. But in a traditional setting, it's normal. Mm-hmm. And it's a way of coping with grief.
Yeah.
Now, I have a similar thing with my Pākehā relatives who have passed away, and also with my Samoan and my Māori relatives that have passed away. They often will visit me in a rather... I see things very... My visual hallucinations are very vivid. Mm. They're not... which is not entirely common. So if you're seeing things and you think, oh, but they're not that vivid, it still means you're seeing things.
Yeah.
But there's actually caveats there. Make sure you talk to a doctor.
Please don't diagnose yourself via Facebook. Please go see an actual medical professional. This is just our experiences as non-doctor people. Yeah. There's your general heads up.
I showed it to my psychologist. It said, take this 5-minute quiz to find all your relationship problems. And I just showed him and I said, ha, I'm out of here. I'm out of here. And he looked at him and said, you know what? I'm glad. You know what? I can't believe I've wasted the past 40 years of my life.
When you could just take this 5-minute Facebook quiz.
Those don't work, and the Myers-Briggs test doesn't work either.
Agreed. Yes.
What else doesn't work?
Oh God, I think there's too many things that don't work to fill up. That will just fill up this whole program. But
even certain things that they still use in medicine don't work. Like, you know that scene from Silence of the Lambs where Hannibal's handed the questionnaires by Clarice, and he sort of goes, are you trying to pick my mind with these primitive tools? He's mocking her accent at mm-hmm. the same time.
Yep.
And she goes like, no. It's like that with a lot of these, especially in the public system over here in New Zealand. Mm. They hand you a lot of these questionnaires. I've got a few of them in here. And they ask questions that are very stupid. Like, rate from 0 to 5, how suicidal you are.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Now, I don't know about you.
Sorry, I'm having a very big reaction. I'm like, how? I'm just that stuck me very much.
Yeah. Well, and then the urge to quit therapy, 0 to 5. Mm-hmm. Self-harm, 0 to 5. Mm-hmm. So I'm thinking, okay, did I slash my wrist with a banana? Okay, so that's 0. Mm-hmm. I slashed it with a knife, that's 5. So you sort of, you can see where I'm coming from with this, these primitive tools.
Yes.
Trying to pick at our minds. And they do it because they don't have time to sit down and establish a rapport with mm-hmm. you, because the hospital system is basically, and at least in New Zealand, is set up to try to get people out of it as fast as possible.
It's the same here. Yeah.
Yeah. We don't want too many people in that hospital because mm-hmm. God knows they may end up curing, being cured.
It's time for today's Lucky Land horoscope with Victoria Cash.
Life's gotten mundane, so shake up the daily routine and be adventurous with a trip to Lucky Land. You know what they say, your chance to win starts with a spin. So go to LuckyLandSlots.com to play over 100 social casino-style games for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Get lucky today at LuckyLandSlots.com.
Available to players in the U.S., excluding Washington and Michigan. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
So back to hallucinations. A story I have. So I started experiencing hallucinations probably at the age of 6, mm-hmm. but they were seen as, because I was a child, I was too young to be diagnosed with anything. But I was always in the yard by myself talking to things that weren't there, mm-hmm. and talking to plants. Anyway, I'm a weirdo. And when I was about 14 or 15, I was in my English class. I had a very terrible teacher that may have contributed to what was about to happen. Mm-hmm. But she said to me, "Why are you staring at the curtains? Am I not interesting?" Mm-hmm. Now, if I was in my right mind, I would have said, "No, you're not," mm-hmm. because that's the way I am. But I wasn't in my right mind because I was looking at the curtain because there was a light shining through it and it was raining outside. Mm-hmm. I thought, so she was still talking to me. I pulled back the curtain and there was a man standing there shining a torch through. Mm-hmm. Now, obviously, that man wasn't real. Mm-hmm. But me at the time didn't know that.
Yeah.
Or myself at the time didn't know that. And I was completely unaware that no one else could see this person. And I did what's natural. I screamed at the man, mm-hmm. ran across the classroom, jumped out the window, climbed down the roof, and then ran out of the school. Mm-hmm. Now, you may say that was an overreaction. It was. But it was also a reaction to something that was threatening me. Mm-hmm. Now, that's the thing people need to remember. If someone is seeing something and they believe they are seeing it, there is no room in there for them to doubt it. Mm-hmm. If you see, for example, a coyote coming towards you, you don't have time to think, "Is this real?"
There's no rational response. Yeah.
You have a fight or flight response. Mm-hmm. So when I saw this man, and I called him the puppet master for a while because mm-hmm. I believed all the ills that were following me were because of this puppet master. Mm-hmm. Actually, there's a story behind that, which is I believed he was a time traveler sent back to try to stop me from becoming a dictator. So, you know, again, grandiose thinking.
It's interesting. Yeah. Like how you need a rationale, right? Like it needs to make sense.
Yeah. And because you're a child when you're doing it, they don't make a lot of sense.
Mm-hmm.
If it was a time travel, why didn't he just kill me? You know, mm-hmm. stuff like that. It's
it's
very basic stuff like that. But you start to develop these neurological pathways mm-hmm. that then have to be undone in therapy.
Yes.
And so the hallucinations have been also to do with the trauma I've experienced. Now, I don't mind saying this, but I have been assaulted sexually by quite a few women.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that is, people will probably think is unique. It's not.
I think it's not as uncommon as.
We tend to think men think only with their penises.
Mm-hmm.
I can assure you that is not the case. Because there is no shame to your psyche more so than being told that the traumatic experience you just felt is meant to be a good thing.
Mm-hmm.
So having sexual attention from someone who is perceived as attractive should be a good thing. But if you're not consenting to it, and if you're too young to consent to it, then it's not.
Mm-hmm.
And also, you know, if someone is saying no, then it's no.
Yeah.
That's a very simple rule that we don't seem to be able to follow for some reason. But because I was abused in that way, a lot of my hallucinations during heightened emotions
mm-hmm.
will be hands clawing at my mouth,
mm-hmm.
hands touching my pelvic area,
mm-hmm.
and things like that. So a lot of the hallucinations can also tie in with, and what you would call that is, it's part of PTSD.
Yes.
It's actually it's reliving
mm-hmm.
the moment in time you were traumatized. Because I'm sure you've had someone on who's explained how it works with your rational brain being the frontal lobe mm-hmm. and then your emotional brain being the center. Then when during a fight or flight, they separate, and this uses all its energy to do stuff. And when your amygdala is overwhelmed,
mm-hmm.
you can't remember it. That's a disassociation. But your body remembers it.
Mm-hmm.
Your body has pieces of that memory still in it.
Yeah.
So, for example, there was a particular perfume that one of my abusers wore. And when I was walking in a shopping center, I took a whiff of it from someone who walked past and completely shut down because... Mm-hmm. I was suddenly being molested again.
Yeah.
And it was that, I mean, that's debilitating in itself because you can't ask someone to ban that perfume.
Yeah. Yeah.
But it was a freak accident that then unlocked a memory that, because my psychologist said, well, what happened? And I said, I don't know, this perfume. And I kept talking about the perfume. And he said, do you know the perfume from anywhere else?
Mm-hmm.
And that's when we started to piece together this teacher and started to piece together all these things.
Mm-hmm.
And suddenly it came together that this thing had happened.
Yeah.
So what we have is a traumatic event.
Mm-hmm.
Now, some of you who may be listening who think, oh, I haven't had something as severe as that, or maybe the opposite. But I still feel traumatized. That is not wrong.
No, not at all.
So if you have experience something like bullying, something like even verbal bullying. There are people who, I mean, there's horrendous things that people have been told to do by bullies, and there are horrendous things that they've done to people. Mm-hmm. Children are messed up. They do really messed up things.
Yes.
They're evil.
As a parent, I can, well, I would push back against the evil, but I can affirm that children do weird, messed up things, and humans in general, unfortunately or fortunately, do weird, messed up things. Some of them are positive, some of them are not.
Well, so, but, you know, you may be thinking, oh, well, when I was in school, they, I don't know, that classic thing of they called me this, they called me that, they mocked me. And you're thinking, oh, but, you know, that happens to a lot of people. Now, in psychology, as I've learned it, there is a thing where some people are just more sensitive than others. Mm-hmm. It's not a bad thing. It's not a good thing. It's just a reality.
Yeah.
And that's part of mindfulness, is learning the difference between, is that not everything needs to be good or bad. Not everything needs to be black and white. Mm-hmm. Then there needs to be shades of gray. And so, 50 of them, no. So we develop a, some of us who are more sensitive will develop problems with, now we don't know why people are more sensitive, mm-hmm. at least I don't. There could be, there's a genetic component, there's a upbringing component, but yeah. Some people are just born a bit more fragile than the other, than others. And they also tend to be the people who are better artists, intellectuals, people who achieve a lot in life because they have a strong amount of empathy. So it's not necessarily, it's a curse and a blessing, but it's also, you know, everything has a, well, nearly everything has a silver lining.
Yeah, empathy, as far as I understand it, is a very complex trait that, yeah. just like many other traits, can be, you know, grown throughout your life. So you're born with a certain level, but then you can push it up, right, or let it slide down a little bit. And different people are born with different levels, but it's, you can grow it through attention to it and practice to it. Yeah, but I think you're... Well, I think many of my listeners, I'm going to go out on a limb and say many, many of us are neurodivergent. Many of us have experienced both like capital T traumas, like, you know, car crashes, people dying, really huge, dramatic things that change the course of your life, sexual assault. And a lot of people have experienced kind of the little T traumas, like, you know, microaggressions, right? Like racial or ableist microaggressions, excuse me. But over the course of time, those can build up and really cause very complex post-traumatic stress and other sorts of symptoms, depending on who you are as an individual and what's going on in your life and what kind of resilience and support structures you have, right?
Yeah. So for example, mm-hmm. My grandfather, now he may not be the best example of someone who is resilient, mm-hmm. but he is someone who just gets on with it.
Yeah.
Now, there are people who do not, I actually was talking about this yesterday with my psychologist, mm-hmm. about the stories of people in concentration camps during the Holocaust. There were some people who just lay down and died in the first mm-hmm. few days.
Yeah.
Then there were some who survived the entire thing.
Mm-hmm.
And you look at these two groups of people and you think, well, many of them had heritage that was similar to each other. Mm-hmm. Many of them had the same upbringing. They were in the same situation. Why were they different?
Mm-hmm.
And so we may never really know what the conclusion is there, but there are some people who can just... who can just be, who can just push past it and just make do with what they have. Mm-hmm. And the older generation, we think of having that, you know, we think, oh, my grandma and grandpa lived through the Depression, so, you know, why can't I cope with this?
I think that my older generation repressed every single emotion exactly. they ever had and just pushed. And
Yes. And the ones that didn't, and the ones that didn't were put into psychiatric hospitals mm-hmm. and never seen again.
Yes.
So yeah, that's
that was the option, right? Yeah.
I mean, there was a comedian known called Jonathan Winters mm-hmm. who used to do a lot of improv comedy in the old days. And he used to refer to, during his alien saucer routine, he said, I did not say too much or they'll put me in the zoo again. Mm-hmm. And it very much is the case that if you started to get started to get a bit annoying or inconvenient, mm-hmm. especially if you were a woman, if you were inconvenient to your husband because you're, body once a month decides to torture you, then sorry, you've got hysteria and you're going into the psychiatric hospital while he goes and marries someone different.
Well, and I think that's an important piece, because a lot of the push, you know, like we were talking about, white European society, Western society wants to push science, quote unquote, as the way we solve problems. And I am an evidence-based practitioner. I believe in science. Science is also deeply problematic. It's racist. It's misogynist. It's based in a system that is just deeply problematic in multiple different ways. And so pointing to that history is really important in acknowledging that, like, you know, we're trying to look at science, at least a lot of white folks and white liberal folks especially look at science as this pure argument for things. But the science is based in a history of dramatic oppression.
And, well, yeah, it's like IQs, for example, that we use to sterilize people.
Yep.
IQ, and they still are massively influenced by the white people that created them. And not to mention that they also were not intended for adults
to be used the way they're being used. Yeah, most of our, just like the test you pointed to, right, the how suicidal are you question, it's like, you know, that's
how do you measure intelligence?
How do you these are not things that are meant to be scaled like that. That's not a useful approach to
if you were intelligent enough to make that test, you'd know not to make that test.
Gosh, you wish, right?
Well, The person who developed the IQ test, he was a French guy. Mm-hmm. He didn't intend to use it for actually adults. It was meant to be used for children in French schools that needed, like, whether or not they
needed. It was a placement test. Exactly. It was a placement test for, okay, should you be in quote unquote fifth grade or second grade, right, of your reading? And now we use it, what, for, oh, so many things that it has no place being. Yes.
I mean, I was searching through Quora because I have nothing better to do sometimes. And someone said they had an IQ of 161. And I thought, no, you don't. One, no, you don't. Mm-hmm. Two.
So what? Like, what does it mean? It means it's a number. It doesn't mean anything. It's not usable.
Well, not only does it mean anything, also because the internet has IQ tests that you could, I mean, I haven't done an IQ test in online because I learned to get self-esteem through some other method, but come on, you can't tell me people who do IQ tests have high self-esteems or high.
I don't understand. I mean, so I'm very autistic, which means I don't understand a lot of things that the general culture around me seems to understand. But when I think of IQ tests, I think of things like BMI indexes and like people taking, you're literally taking the smallest sample size possible. You're making a scale to use in a specific circumstance, and then somebody else takes it and explodes it and uses it everywhere. Like, you know, like IQ is just for this one school classroom. It had like, I don't know what, 50 kids that were maybe on the original one, and now we're using it for everything. BMI, it's just white European men in America in the 50s. And they were college students. They were like 20. They were like skinny and ripped. And we're going to use that for like every man in the whole, you know, world to say if you're the right size, quote unquote, whatever that means or not. Like, I just think of the ways that culture likes to take something that has this very specific use and then just try to apply it everywhere. And that's supposed to be scientific. And it makes me very confused. And
well, it's the Rorschach tests.
Yeah, there you go. That's another great example.
they used to be very useful because the person who invented them, Rorschach, was not using them as in, you see this, you're a homosexual, or you see this, you're a pedophile. Mm-hmm. It was more, you see this? Why do you see this? What part of your past is meaning you're going to see this?
It was a reflective exercise.
Yeah. Is there a commonality between them? And instead they got used to diagnose people with things and kicked out of the army, which...
Yeah, it's just the whole thing is a hot mess. I would love to talk a little bit more about your experience of DID and/or hallucinations. Kind of what has your experience been like, and like how can folks who are listening who might know somebody with those diagnoses be most supportive or most helpful, or what should they know? I know that's like two huge questions, but whatever your response would be.
DID, I'll start with that.
Okay.
DID means the person who you see before you is not necessarily the person you know. Mm-hmm. That can be very traumatic to see.
Yeah.
Because you can see a very rational person turn into an irrational beast. Mm-hmm. Or you can see a very rational person turn into a child. Or you can see them turn into an old man or a young man or a woman. Mm-hmm. Or a gender neutral. It doesn't matter. You can turn into anything as mm-hmm. long as it's in your, as long as that person exists. What you need to remember is the best way, the only way you can help someone is if you're safe yourself. Mm-hmm. So as much as I hate to say it, if they're violent, you do need to call someone mm-hmm. because putting yourself in harm's way is not a good idea.
Yeah.
I know that the police are not the best at dealing with these situations. Certainly not where you are.
No. But, I think you're right that safety first has to be part of the plan. And I have worked with clients with family members who are for other reasons unsafe. And you have to have a safety plan, right? I can also put links to that in the show notes for folks if you need to develop a safety plan. But you want to have a plan before something happens so that you can keep each other safe. Yeah.
So DID, another thing to remember is also when you see the person again, maybe in hospital, maybe after their other personality is withdrawn, mm-hmm. they're not going to remember, or they may remember but not have any control over it. So if you come to them saying, what the fuck was that? They're gonna go, I don't know. Mm-hmm. Now it's gonna be very difficult to say, hey, look, are you okay, after you've watched them, I don't know, throw punching bag out a window from the fourth floor of a building and then climbed out of that window and gone up the thing like King Kong. It's going to be very difficult to sympathize with them. Mm. But being there and just saying, you know, are you okay? Do you know what happened? Mm-hmm. Explaining what happened, and then that generally will be helpful. Now, for hallucinations, telling someone that it's not there is actually helpful. Now, a lot of people will think, how is that helpful? You have to do it in a helpful manner. Mm-hmm. Don't say, don't be fucking stupid. Why would there be a snake here? Mm-hmm. Do it like this. Okay, I can't see that. Mm-hmm. You want me to ask other people if they can see that? Mm-hmm. Maybe not in that tone. And when they start to see that other people can't see it, then they start to maybe question or start to think a little bit about why they're seeing this thing. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, there's small things you can do. A lot of them have revolve around just saying, hey, maybe think about this.
Yeah.
Being not being passive, but being gentle with your approach. Yeah. Because you have to remember, a lot of these people have not lived very easy lives. Once again, they have lived very difficult lives or have had very difficult pasts. Yeah. And you yelling at them is not going to help.
Yeah, and that's if you are working with any, just from a coaching perspective for folks who are listening, for whatever it's worth, Tremaine has much greater experience than I do in terms of the lived experience. But from a coaching perspective, there's lots of trauma-informed resources if you're a coach and you're working with somebody, or if you're a professional and you're working with somebody. If you do not know how to be trauma-informed, you're going to re-injure people. So, like, do your work, please. And go, you know, you can
do your work.
Like, I'm happy to email folks. But you can Google, right? For your profession, for your place in the world, wherever you are, there's going to be a community or society of folks in your profession that have some kind of trauma information certification or method. And that's really important. Yeah.
And just to touch on something there. And that's why it is important when people say they are not diagnosed, mm-hmm. to keep that in mind.
Yes.
Because if you're not diagnosed, now, don't get me wrong, I don't want to say then you're definitely not it. It means what you're experiencing has not been labeled. Mm-hmm. So what the only reason I'm getting at that is because I've seen a lot of people abusing trauma-based illnesses to try to get rid of things they don't like.
Yes, that's a really good point. Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, they'll say things like, this is triggering me. And they've made it to the point where people who actually get triggered no longer want to use that word because they don't want to be seen as soft.
Yeah.
I know I feel that. When the doctor said to me, you mean you're being triggered? I'm like, no.
Yeah.
Save big money and transform your home with new appliances now at Menards. We offer the lowest prices and the largest in-stock appliance selection ready to take home today. Check out top appliance brands, including KitchenAid, Maytag, Whirlpool, Amana, and Criterion. Upgrade your home and save big money on new appliances at Menards. Shop our entire selection of appliance options online today at Menards.com.
Save big money at Menards.
It's time for today's Lucky Land horoscope with Victoria Cash.
Life's gotten mundane, so shake up the daily routine and be adventurous with a trip to Lucky Land. You know what they say, your chance to win starts with a spin. So go to LuckyLandSlots.com to play over 100 social casino-style games for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Get lucky today at LuckyLandSlots.com.
Available to players in the U.S., excluding Washington and Michigan. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18+. Terms and conditions apply.
I've seen this come up in the Americas in the past 5 or 10 years with some students asking for trigger warnings on syllabi, for example, after being diagnosed with post-traumatic stress disorder or something similar, and they're being pushed back against, like, spoiling the book, right, or spoiling the novel in English class. When really somebody is asking for a very reasonable mental health accommodation, and should be afforded, in my opinion, should be afforded that regardless of anybody else's, like, slight discomfort versus a real re-triggering event. They are wildly different.
For example, I know that when I was, well, I still do university, but when I was mm-hmm. in one of my first classes, there was someone in the front who was criticizing psychology. Now, that's dangerous for someone like me, because then I can go, hey, I don't need psychology, and do some crazy stuff. So I asked the lecturer to be excused. Mm-hmm. Now, that is a conversation to be had between you and the lecturer.
Yes.
Now, in terms of trigger warnings, the thing is, right, I'm triggered heavily by rats.
It's a very complicated topic, yeah.
And I'm triggered heavily by rats. In mm-hmm. fact, it can induce a psychotic episode. Mm-hmm. I can't ask everyone to do that, and nor should I, because a big part of recovery from trauma is reintegrating yourself back into society and coping with that.
Yeah.
Now, obviously, while you're vulnerable, that's not a good thing to have.
Mm-hmm.
But part of your recovery will be learning to cope
with the thing.
Mm-hmm. And so, you know, but there are some obvious things. If the book is like Huckleberry Finn and it's got some words that are not particularly usable nowadays, yes, it's good to just have a saying. I think the Disney Corporation actually had Whoopi Goldberg do that for some of the movies that they used to have.
Mm-hmm.
And she said that, in her opinion, that it was that to cut them out would be to deny that they happened at all.
Yes.
So it is important, mm-hmm. not to get political, it is important to acknowledge that that history does exist.
I completely agree. We don't want to sanitize anything.
We don't want to whitewash, yeah.
No, or that, yeah. So, that's a very white word to use, isn't it? Sanitize. Yes, you're right. We don't want to whitewash anything. But we also, I'm thinking specifically of, you know, you mentioned sexual assault before. That's something that many of us have unfortunately had in our histories, and it has caused trauma for many of us. Many folks who are going to be in, say, a freshman English class may have dealt with sexual trauma. And so if you're being asked to read a text that covers that directly, that's a place, for example, where I would say a trigger warning is a reasonable ask. We're going to trust the student to decide if they're in the part of their recovery where they're going to read the book anyway or not, right? But it shouldn't be up to the lecturer.
I would also say, there's a difference between a trigger warning and completely erasing the book.
Oh, for sure. Yes.
And that's what as someone who's a writer, as someone who appreciates fiction, it's very important that we don't get rid of some of these books. Because I know, for example, the Marquis de Sade, the mm-hmm. person who is whose name is the basis of the word sadism, mm-hmm. he wrote some very, very rapey books.
Oh yes.
I've read them.
they're not as good as you'd wish for somebody with that sort of a history.
Well, no, for me, they actually have a message that's quite strange.
Mm.
So in the two books, Juliet and I'm not going to go into any of the obvious things, Juliet and Justine,
mm-hmm.
they the two sisters that are separated because one goes off on a life of debauchery and the other one goes off on a life of virtue. And what we get is the woman who goes for virtue is left on the streets and mm-hmm. is basically abused by society. And the woman who takes life into her own hands and does what she wants becomes the successful person.
Mm-hmm.
And even though it was written in the 1700s, I can't think of a more feminist thing than basically saying, yeah, the virtue, they're going to tell you sticking to your virtues is good, but for example, in the first thing, Justine goes to a church and she says, Father, can I live in here? And he tries to have sex with her.
Mm-hmm.
That's a reality.
Mm-hmm.
No matter who you are, there's probably going to be some creepy old man that's going to try to take advantage of you.
Mm-hmm.
And you have to take things into your own hands. And yeah. I think, so the de Sade's books are dreadfully horrific, but they also have messages that are very important. And if you can read them, reading them can help expand your mind and also give you a bit of a dose on how creepy you can get if you're not if you're never told no as a child.
It's oh gosh. It's really valuable to look at other people's lives and work and media and every like the world as something to be curious about and something to really investigate and reflect upon, because you can get so much out of it. Even if it's you know, it could be the Marquis de Sade, it could be like, you know, any, it could be anything.
Give me the Marquis de Sade. It could be someone,
it could be
not,
you know,
not totally insane.
Yeah. It could be not him, out of all the books you could read. But you know, for me, I'll just say all I meant was I don't think that the text is particularly the writing style was not for me. How's that? Like the content was like, okay, fine. You know, this is an interesting piece of the history.
It's very flowery.
But it was like, I was like, this person is not the kind of writer that I would like, you know, support on Patreon today. Not because of the content, but just because of the style of writing. I was just kind of like, this is real boring. Like, where's, you know, anyway, it would be a fun book club discussion though.
Just imagine everyone sitting there like, so.
I don't know. I really enjoy hearing other people's perspectives on texts and media. And, you know, to some degree, that's why I do what I do, is because it's really just interesting to get to know people. And
I actively collect controversial literature because I have a fear that one day they're not going to be available. So I have Mein Kampf, for example. Mm-hmm. Again, boring as hell.
It is really boring.
It's just a guy complaining about how it's no different to a political manifesto that you would see from like a presidential candidate. In fact, it's very similar to We won't get into that. We'll get into that on the sci-fi hour, though. So yeah.
I forgot about that. Oh, no, we did. This is accidentally a duo that you must listen to both, but that's okay.
But there is something to be said that these, and this does link into mental health, because the Marquis de Sade, if you read his history, when I say he was never told no as a child, he never was told no as a child. Mm-hmm. He tortured servants. He did a lot of weird stuff. And that led to who he became.
Yeah.
And so that is important. That trauma, but also that trauma can go in different directions.
Oh, yes.
It can be trauma that hurts you and trauma where you hurt others. Mm-hmm. And, you know, something I think that, and this will help with your SEO, Jeffrey Dahmer is now being examined under a microscope because Netflix made a very weird.
I have heard. I have not watched it, and I do not intend to. But I've read some very upset people about it. Yes,
I haven't watched it, but I watched the review of it from Dr. Elliot Carthy, who's a forensic psychiatrist in the UK who does a wonderful job on YouTube. And he was talking more about he cut because for some of us we want to see the violence, some of us we just want to know why do some people just suddenly. And there's a very important scene where he's been arrested and his dad and lawyer are in the room with him and they're going, we need you to plead insanity. Mm-hmm. And he goes, but I'm not insane. Mm-hmm. And then they go, well, at the time of the murder, I wasn't insane at the time of the murder either. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, you couldn't remember parts of it, Jeffrey. You were, you know, doing all this weird shit. And he goes, that's because I was blackout drunk. Mm-hmm. And there's this thing where you suddenly realize the reason we need to believe that these serial killers are mentally ill is because they're just people.
Yeah.
And that's scary to a lot of people, is the fact that they're not schizophrenics or DID, or they don't have DID. Those people are more likely to hurt themselves than anyone else. These are real people that just happen to be serial killers.
Yeah.
Happen to have a line of thinking that goes, what if I did this?
Mm-hmm. Well, okay, I'm gonna wrap us up because
Otherwise, it'll be 2 hour long. And
you know what? Frankly, one day maybe that we should do that. But but for today, before we kind of pop off, I'm just gonna say that everyone should check out Tremaine's podcast. I'm gonna put a link in the show notes, so you should go check that out. Do you have any kind of last words or anything you'd like folks to know about anything you've been through, really, before we pop off for today?
There is always going to be light at the end of the tunnel. There is never a moment in my past that I regret more so than the ones that I, where I lost my vision for the future. If you continue to look forward to things, you will continue to be able to move forward. Never forget the past, but never, and always remember where you are, but always look forward, because otherwise the past will consume you.
Thanks very much, Tremaine. Thank you so much for joining me today on the Neurodiverging Podcast. I hope you found this episode as interesting and as enlightening as I did, and I hope it gives you some information to chew on. I would love to know your thoughts. Please feel free to go to neurodiverging.com and look at the transcript page and leave me a comment, or email me at neurodiverging.podcast@gmail.com. I really appreciate your insight and your feedback. I also just want to little heads up that if you go to neurodiverging.com/upcoming events, all one word, we have monthly webinars, upcoming coaching programs, upcoming classes, all listed there for the first quarter of the year at least. And so I hope you'll join me for some of those. Thanks so much for being here with me today. And please remember, we are all in this together.
Does your father know you're listening to this podcast? Well, when you're done, why don't you stop by and check out a show that is 100% dad-approved, Dadages. Hi there, I'm Chad Higley. If you're looking for useful insights and practical advice you can actually apply to work, family, education, philanthropy, and just life in general, check out Dadages. That's Dadages, wherever you listen to your podcasts.